All right, I'll read here starting at verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 2. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Glory to God. All right, so where do we start here? Well, let's take up where we left off the last time. And we're basically talking about this releasing the blessing. Releasing the blessing. Now, this blessing is an empowerment from God for you to be able to do what God has called you to do and to be successful in the earth and take up where Adam left off. And we said this blessing empowers you that you can live a life that is distinctly different than anyone else who doesn't have this blessing. And so now this blessing is part of your inheritance. Let's look at that. It's found over here in Revelation chapter 5. In verses 11 and 12, he says, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and what else? And blessing." Now, what we said here is this is what Jesus got back for us. This is what he recovered for us. This is what Adam lost and Jesus got back. Now, when it says the Lamb, put it up there again, when it says and reads about the Lamb, this Lamb was slain. See, this is Jesus, because a price had to be paid for that inheritance. For God to get you back and to get your stuff back, it had to be paid. A price had to be paid. Let's look at it in the pawn shop. So God had to get something out of the pawn shop, which you and me, and our goods, and he got us out through the sacrifice of the Lamb. Now the Lamb is his son, Jesus Christ. So he gave his son to get us back. Now what was one of the things that he got back? He got back the blessing. Now, over in Ephesians, and what I said, if you're talking about blessing, now make sure you make a capital B with blessing. Blessing means to an empowerment for your success. An empowerment for your success, all right? Now, it's not only in you, but it's on you. Amen. Say, I have the blessing.
I have the blessing.
Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, because this talks about the inheritance that he has and has gotten back for you. Ephesians chapter 1, and starting reading at verse 3. He says, He says that, what in the world? Just a minute. Yeah, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed thee with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." So, you are blessed. Now, with all what? Spiritual blessings. Now, you have an inheritance on the earth too. Don't think it's all invisible, but it's on the earth too. But whatever the case may be, Paul is saying for you to get it, you're going to have a revelation of it. And so he starts talking about that revelation. Look what he says. I'll start here. Since I'm in Ephesians, I'll start with Ephesians. Verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your what?
Understanding
being what? Enlightened, that you may what? Know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now let's take that and put that verse 18 up there in the Amplified translation, and let's just see what he says. Now look what he says here. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. His set apart one. All right. Now, notice he says, in the saints, all right? Put some right there. I'm coming back to in the saints. But let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Now, you don't need to turn to all these if you don't want to, because I want you to more or less write them down and be able to study them when you go home. All right, look what he says here. He says, but, verse 9, but at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, the eye has not seen, natural eye, nor ear heard, natural hearing, nor entered into the heart of man, the natural part of you, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are, underline it, freely given to us of God. See, because when he shows you something and he shows you that building that belongs to you, the first thing you're going to say is, wait a minute, I don't have enough money for that. That building costs $80 million. No, 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 no. Faith is the only currency God will accept. He's not asking you to come up with cash. He's asking you to believe what he said and then follow his instructions to carry it out. And that's what he said, that if you hearken diligently to my commandments, he said, and do what I say, then all these what? Blessings are going to come on you and overtake you. Are y'all with me here? All right, an example of that is Joshua and Joshua chapter 6. Now I'm coming back to Ephesians chapter 1, but Joshua chapter 6, look at 6 and verse 1. Now this is your stuff. I said, this is your stuff. And Jericho is now straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given to thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now, whoa, 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 whoa. Where was Joshua when he told him that? He was not in Jericho. He was somewhere distant from Jericho. But God said, see, I have what? Given into your hand Jericho and the king. All that land. So he was giving him here a city. Well, that's what he said in Deuteronomy. We'll get there. I'm giving you cities. So he's giving him here a city. But he said, see. And Genesis chapter 13, just track me now. I'm coming back to this. Genesis 13 in verse 14, he says, and God said unto Abraham, Abraham, as far as you can, lift up now your eyes from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land that you see, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. What does he mean? See, he's not talking about natural eyes. Talking about with the eyes of your spirit. So what you're going to do is get the word in you, start meditating that word, and you're going to see something. because the Holy Ghost gonna teach you what belongs to you, and that it's free. It's not free exactly. It's free because Jesus paid for it when he was the Lamb of God that got your inheritance for you, and he's made it so that all you need is faith. Well, what we're doing now, we're transferring the whole earth back. Now, it doesn't belong to them. Well, they're living in it, doesn't belong to them. Let's keep going. All right, let's go to Joshua chapter 3. And you shall compass the city, you men of war, all the men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. And the seventh priest shall bear, let's go to the next verse, please. And it shall come to pass that when they make a blast with a ram's horn, that when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, what would they to do to get that city? They're going to march around it first. Now, can't you see the people up on the wall in the city? What they doing down there? Joe, look what they're doing. And then that last day, all of a sudden, Joe, something is shaking, Joe. Now, my point to you is, look at each time you get your inheritance, he gives you instructions on how to receive it. Got it? Now, in Jericho, something happened. So we're going to come back to Ephesians chapter 1, but let's go to Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits, spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be what?
Heirs.
Say heirs.
Heirs
of salvation. The word salvation is the word soteria in the Greek. It means wholeness, means soundness. It means health, means preservation. Okay? But it doesn't mean heaven. Okay? It means the condition of you right here. Got it? Heirs of salvation. Heirs of salvation. Why would he say heirs of salvation? The angel's job, one of the main jobs of the angels, put it up there again, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, verse 14. He said, and they are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs? Well, let's just stop right there. Shall be heirs. What is an heir? Somebody that what? Inherit something. Well, we just read you your inheritance. And the angel's been sent forth to make sure you get that. To minister for those who shall be heirs. Heirs. Everything God has, he gave it back to you. Everything he got in its, Adam had everything. Adam lost everything. Jesus came back and bought everything. Now God wants you to enforce what Jesus did and take back everything. Who's going to help you do it?
Angels.
They're going to be heirs. They're ministering spirits to make sure you get your inheritance. Who do you think pulled down the wall? The angels pulled it down. All they did was shout. Notice how God has taken all the toil out of your life. Man, that's something when all you got to do is go up somewhere and shout and it come into your hands. I'll take that deal. See, when you don't have a revelation, now you're trying to figure out, how can I pay for this? And that's what turned them back when they went out and spied out the land, came back, and they gave an evil report. They said, there are giants in the land, the cities are walled up to heaven, so forth, so we can't take it. God is leading you into a place you can't take it. He's leading you into a fight you can't win. He's leading you to a property you can't afford. He's leading because he's going to distinguish you with the blessing. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? No, he said, buy that shopping mall. Whoa. Man, do you know what that's like coming out of 3,000 square feet? That's where we were up there at Madison Street. And we were having services over here at the Shea Room by that mall. I sent some people over here. I said, go over there and look at it. God tell me that we should buy that. And they came back, and this is what they said. One of them was in construction. They came back and said, Pastor, we can buy that little area on the east end, right down there. I said, east end? God said, buy the whole mall. Oh, no, Pastor, a whole mall, man. See, he thought he had to pay for it. He's going to take you somewhere that will distinguish you as having the blessing. Now, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, he says, fight, come on now, the good fight of faith. What's he talking about here? What is the main thing that you're going to have to fight with? Faith. All right. I know it's faith. But what I'm getting at is going to be your confession. You ain't going to pull a gun out on nobody. You're not going to get. Words are the most powerful thing that God has given you to work with in this earth. They are so powerful till God himself said, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Amen. Not in the power of the devil. Now what are you going to have to do? In the face of adversity, you're going to have to hold fast. Look at James chapter 1. Over in James chapter 1. And starting at verse 5, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And it shall be given him. All right, give me the next verse, please. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. Check it out. For let that man not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Keep going. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And that's where Satan wants you. He wants you to take it back. He wants you to be too proud to say it in the face of somebody.
Yes, sir.
I'm coming where you live today. Look at James chapter 3. Over in James chapter 3, he said, behold, in verse 3, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, watch what he's saying. So you got a horse, and you put the bridle on the horse, and a bit goes in his mouth. And if you ever see anything about a bit in a horse's mouth, that when you pull that reins, if you are wanting to turn him, you pull that side. And notice what it does. If you see him and watch the horse up close, his tongue starts to kind of stick out. Why? Because you're putting pressure on his tongue.
Right.
So the word can put pressure on your tongue. See? Look at the next verse. He said this, behold also the ships, which they be so great and are driven with of fierce winds, yet They are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now, what is he saying there? He is saying that I've got a ship and I want to turn it. Well, to turn it, I got to turn the rudder. So here is the ship. I'm going to turn it, but I got a little thing down here in the back of the ship that I use to turn it with. And I'm the governor. So wherever I want to turn it as a governor, I turn the rudder. The rudder starts plowing water. And I'm turning. Now, wait a minute. I don't just whip around. I'm turning. So I'm confessing.
Right.
Every day. Now my ship is turning. I may not notice it because it's turning easy. Come on, somebody. But I'm turning. Next verse. And then he says, even so the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Next verse. And he says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So isn't it interesting how this tongue can actually start a fire? And I remember when I was with my grandmother, this is when we were young, we'd go down to my grandmother's in Georgia, and they had these, at first had these old big old potbelly stoves to keep the rooms warm. And it said, you know, bring me some wood, honey, and bring me a little kindling. See, I didn't know what kindling was at that time. But kindling is a type, since the Boy Scouts, kindling is a type of wood, but it has sap in it. And it catches on fire real easy. And you use it to start a fire to burn big logs. But you can't light the log, you light the kindling. The tongue is a kindling. And even though it be so small, it'll start a big fire. And most people's lives, if you look at where they are right now, you can trace it back to their words. Or words that have been spoken over them. Next verse. And he says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. I even saw, they showed on the news, this man had a pet alligator. The alligator actually slept by his bed at night. I said to myself, that beat all I ever seen in my life. I mean, the alligator started out as a small one, and this huge alligator, who is a pet, sleeping in the house. Every animal can be tamed. But the tongue, put it up there, please. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. The only thing that can tame the tongue is the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can take people and you put enough pressure on their life, they'll say stuff they never intended to say. But you get that Holy Ghost and be like the three Hebrews when he said, I'm gonna throw you in the fire. The God that I serve, he will deliver me. And they wouldn't change it. Your fight is going to be the good fight of faith, and it's going to be seen in your speech. Now, if this ain't the word of God, you ain't never heard it. All right. So, now, these angels are going to hearken to your voice. But your voice has got to be in line with the word. And look what it said in Psalm 103 and verse 20. In Psalm 103 and verse 20, he says that, come on, please. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. What are they going to hearken to? The voice of his word. All right, see this Bible here? Let me put it up here to this microphone and see if it says anything. Just a minute. Let's just wait. Maybe it's... No. Who gives it voice? You do. Now, the angels are waiting on it. Don't think you just got one. That's religion. You got a bunch of them. As a matter of fact, you got however many are needed for you to get your inheritance. Now, what is some of your inheritance? Let's look at some of it. Look at Psalm chapter 50, please. 50. Psalm 50. Because this is what God got back for you. For every beast of the forest is mine. This is God talking. The cattle upon 1,000 hills. Keep going. And I know all the fowls of the air. Fowls of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. Please go to it. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. All right? Now, he is saying all the cattle belong to him. Let's go over to Haggai chapter 2, please. And verse 6. In Haggai 2:6, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Now, what was he talking? Desire of all nations shall come. It means what the heathen desire is going to come to you. All right? And I will fill this house with what? Glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, he's not talking about, woo, glory. No, he's going to tell you what the glory is. The silver is mine, come on, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, he owns the earth from the surface down to the core. He owns every oil well. He owns everything is his. And Satan has taken it, put it in his kingdom of darkness, and claimed that it's his. But God said, not so. He said, it is mine. And what Jesus did, he paid the price to get it all back. He's not bringing you back without the stuff. He wants you to come back with everything that belongs to you. Look at Psalm chapter 115 and verse 16. Here's what he said. He said, the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. You see, he said, you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You see, kings function by decree, but lords function by ownership. And I'm telling you right now, you are not only going to decree a thing, but you're going to take ownership of it as well. Look what he says. Let's go on down here. And let's go on down to glory to God. Let's go. I want to make sure I cover something I didn't cover this morning. Let's go to, there's so much stuff here. Just a minute. All right. Wait now. Just hush. I got to figure this out. Excuse me. I didn't mean to tell you talking like that. Okay. So the earth was purchased. All right. Now, is somebody going to tell you, well, don't believe that. You didn't hear what I said, but that's all right. But just don't believe it. The earth was purchased, meaning that it was purchased back for us. We are joint heirs with Christ. Now, let's figure that heir piece out again. Let's go over to, come on. Let me finish this right quick. Praise God. I'm trying to, this clock has just run on me. Let's go. So we need, come back to Ephesians. That's where I want to come back to Ephesians chapter 1 again and go down to verse 16. All right. Now, verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Why? So that you may know what is the hope of his calling? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints? In other words, you're going to know and have a revelation of what belongs to you. Now, that is the way you're going to get it. You're going to have a revelation of what belongs to you. Now, this all right. My note said, turn the light on. Turn the light on. I like that. Turn the light on. All right. Now, here's what I'm saying with this. I'm saying that the world will not know the blessing unless you are blessed. Are you with me here? God wants you to be blessed. And the world will not know the inheritance or redemption except you be blessed. Oh, I'm going to get there. People are drawn into the kingdom by the blessing on you. One Jewish teacher teaches, and I heard him, they will not even let a Jewish rabbi teach in the synagogue if he is poor. Why? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 16. This is good stuff, man. He said, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not even heard. You, if you've got the blessing in your life, it should be seen. They feel that if you are poor, you can't teach the blessing. Are you here? Because you don't understand the blessing of Abraham. And that's what this thing is all about. This blessing on your life will bring supernatural increase. Are you here? Jesus taught that blessing in the synagogue over where you see in Matthew's gospel and chapter 5, glory to God. Lord have mercy. And verse, y'all don't rush me. Just give me a minute here. I'm almost done. And verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, what is he teaching here? He is teaching them how this blessing functions, glory to God, and how this blessing can be released. he goes on down and says, now he's teaching in the synagogue, so he must not have been broke. So this whole business about he had nowhere to lay his head. Are you with me? Now, if you're not interested in this, that's because your mind has been messed with by something other than the Spirit of God. This is the most important message to the church today, because where you're going in time, just in time, you're going to need the blessing wall to protect you. You are not, police can't take care of you. I'm telling you, where are you going with the terrorism and stuff that's happening? You need something invisible to take care of you. These plagues that are jumping up and so forth, you need something bigger than, are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying to you that this Jesus, this Sermon on the Mount, was about how to connect with the blessing and how to release the blessing and the power of that blessing. And look what he goes on down and says in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look what he says next. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. What? For my sake, he said, what?
Rejoice.
Do what?
Rejoice.
Do what?
Rejoice.
When they just talked about you like a dog, come on now, the supervisor won't promote you, so forth. He said, rejoice. And be exceedingly glad. You see, they didn't like Joseph, but did it stop him? Listen, I'm not talking about, listen, glory to God. They can't stop you. The Bible says they can't curse you. They can't, if they try to curse you, they'll be cursed. You don't need to, look at Romans and Romans chapter 12, please. And put that up there, please. Romans chapter 12, and look at this verse. This is verse 14. Bless them which what? Persecute you. Come on, bless them which what? Let me read it again, because you didn't get it. Bless them which what? Persecute you. And what? And don't curse them. Why? Because they can't stop you. No, they can't stop you from getting the property. They tried to stop me from getting it. They couldn't stop me because the blessing was on me. They can't stop you from getting promoted, because Psalm 75 said your promotion come from God. Come on. They can't stop your money from coming in, because whatever they put up to shield it, they're going to be stripped of that. They can't stop you from losing a business deal, because when God commands a blessing on you, can't nobody touch it. And I'm just saying, this hadn't been preached, folks. When this is preached, you will see, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Look at it right there. Acts 10, 34. Boy, I got to get you out of here. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm going right now. Acts 10, 34. Look what he said. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, come on, I perceive that God is what? No respecter of persons. He don't care what color you are. If you are just conforming to the blessing, you're going to multiply. And anybody that has the blessing in their life and adheres to what he says and his commandments, you will multiply. Look at Deuteronomy, last verse. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Come on, come on, come on. So speak blessings. Say, speak blessings.
Speak blessings.
He said this, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, come on, a mighty, come on, a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh rewards. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are, If you come back over here to the blessings and conform to what God says, all these blessings gonna come on you and they're gonna overtake you. Now, when they say something mean about you, don't say anything mean about them. Keep your mouth shut. Was Joseph down in prison talking about, you know, Miss Potiphar, that heifer? He didn't say nothing derogatory about her, because you can't have blessing and cursing coming out the same mouth. Now give God praise. That's all I got to get you out. You got it today. You got it today. See, whatever you need, if it's in the earth, if you need it personally, if you need it for your ministry, if you need it for your business, it's yours. It's yours. Now ask God and he will get angels dispatched. Now he gonna give you what to say. He might tell you to march around it three times. He might tell you to just lift your hands and shout. He might tell you to turn around four times. Whatever he tells you to do, it's not gonna be hard to do. All you got to do is do it, and you're gonna see the transfer. It's coming home, baby. I said that house is coming home. Come on, that debt-free is coming home. Them kids are coming home. Take a seat. If you're here, you need to be saved. You know you need to be saved? Get up out of your chair and come on up here. I got 1 minute to do this. Get up out of your chair. If you know you need to be saved, get up out of your chair and come on up here. You can't get this unless you're saved. Come on up here and stand with me right here at the altar. Come on. Get up.